Now, human papillomavirus, or HPV, is the name for a group of viruses that commonly cause verrucas, warts, genital warts, and cervical cancer. And they are very common. The infection usually resolves itself, but in some cases it leads to damage to the DNA in the infected cells, which can result in cancer. This is why we have a screening program to look for these changes and to try to pick up the disease early before it can spread.
Now, just over 10 years ago, a vaccine against the highest risk forms of the virus was introduced. In Australia, boys and girls received it, but in other places, the UK is one of them, it was given just to the girls. But 2019 is going to see it being offered now also to boys in many places, as well as changes to the way that we screen for the infection. Margaret Stanley helped to develop the vaccine. She's an HPV expert based at the University of Cambridge, and she's with us now. So, Margaret, what do the data show in terms of the 10 years since this vaccine's been introduced? Does it work?
Well, I can give you the information from the UK, and the UK has had a spectacularly successful vaccination programme, and we're seeing the results of that now. And I can quote what's happened in Scotland. The girls who were vaccinated in 2008 in Scotland, aged 13, 14, by the time they were 20 in 2015-16, came up for their first cervical cancer smear, because in Scotland, at that time, you were getting smears at 20. So we know what proportion of those girls we expected to have the precancer, that's what the screening program's about, and what proportion did. In fact, there was a reduction of 86% in the precancers in that group of vaccinated girls. That's spectacular. Part of the reason why is in that young group of girls, those two very high-risk viruses that the vaccine targets are the ones that cause most of the precancers and the cancers. So the vaccine is stunningly successful. Same data from Australia, same data from Denmark. Wherever you've got a high vaccine coverage, now I want to emphasise that, we've been really successful in the UK because almost 90% of our 13-year-olds are vaccinated. Whereas in other countries where it's much lower, you're not getting the result.
Yes, so the data you've quoted is for people who have been vaccinated against people who would have been otherwise identical to that group and haven't.
That's
so
correct.
If we look at those people who haven't, roughly what number of cervical cancers are we seeing, or precancers are we seeing in those people normally?
The precancers sort of peak in the 20s. You expect to see about 2 per 100 individuals for the precancers. Now, not all those precancers go on to cancer, but those two individuals will have to be treated. So what we're doing is taking out almost all of those precancers, losing that treatment. If you haven't been vaccinated, however, you've got to be screened, and you still ought to be screened even though you're vaccinated, because not all of the HPVs that cause cancer are targeted by the vaccines, but your risk is massively reduced.
What was the rationale? Was it just cost for only going for the girls and not vaccinating the boys in countries like the UK?
Well, it's because genital HPV is a sexually transmitted infection, and if you immunise one gender, then you protect the other gender. And so decisions about who to vaccinate when and how many is based on modelling and on health economic policy. So if the models said, well, if you can get up to 85-90% of girls vaccinated, we won't need to vaccinate the boys. But it turns out that men get cancer of the throat, which is caused by HPV, and they're 4 times more likely to get it than girls.
And the vaccine will stop that?
Well, I have to be very careful. I have no data from trials that says that the vaccine will stop the cancer. I can tell you that the vaccinated people lose their infection in the mouth. So it prevents the infection in the mouth. And, you know, I'm a simple soul. If you don't have the infection, you won't get the cancer.
Now, you mentioned that the vaccine represents some of the highest risk forms of the virus.
Yes.
But it doesn't cover all of them.
No.
So we're still having to do cervical screening. Why can't we add the missing viruses into the vaccine if it's so successful?
Well, there's a second generation vaccine which is commercially available, and that's the one actually which is now being delivered in Australia and the USA. But the decision hasn't been made yet in the UK as to whether to put that into our programme.
And that does represent these other forms
that
are missing at the moment.
The sort of global take on this is the vaccine that targets the two high-risk viruses, which is what we currently use, will get rid of 70% of cervical cancers worldwide. You put this other one in, which has another four high-risk HPVs, you'll get rid of up to 90% of cervical cancers worldwide, but you'll still have a little rump of cancers which are not covered by the vaccine.
So we still need to screen. And that brings me on to my other point, which is, can we use the learning that's gone with the study of human papillomaviruses together with much better diagnostic techniques that we now have? We can screen for DNA and things like that now, rather than just having to look at cells under microscopes. Can we use this knowledge to do a better screening job now?
Yes. The screening program in England and the rest of the UK is going to change in 2019 from the first analysis being looking down the microscope at cells to, in fact, detecting DNAs of these high-risk viruses. You'll still come for your smear at 25, but instead of that smear being looked at by down the microscope first, it will be tested for DNA. If it's DNA positive... For the virus, then the screener will have a look at those cells. And if the cells are normal, then you'll go back into the program and be asked to come back and have another screen in about a year's time to make sure you've got rid of the virus.
If it's negative, you need go no further at that time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So it's going to save loads of money and time.
It's not only that, it's going to save all the hassle of getting for a smear. And it's a much easier and much more convenient. More importantly, it's more sensitive. The trouble with cervical screening is it's a wonderful public health intervention, but although it's very specific, it's not very sensitive.
Margaret, we must leave it there. But you told me when you came on this programme 14 years ago and talked about this vaccine that was going to happen, it was going to be a game changer. It looks like you were right.
I think so.
Margaret Stanley from the University of Cambridge, thank you very much.